So are we ready then? Everyone online, just so you know, they're all sitting around the tables here with bright smiling faces.
And donuts.
And donuts, yes. Thank you, Vice Chancellor Mike Srega. Okay, so if we're ready, then I'll call the meeting to order. 8:29, start the clock.
You're the Mission Impossible.
Here.
Claudia Pope.
Yes.
Ken Feeney.
Adam Kane.
Selena Brown.
Kirsten Bay.
Here.
Evelyn Pinsford. Sarah Becky. Deb Gibson. Mary Alice Short.
Here.
Debbie Gonzalez.
Here.
Leslie Wall.
Here.
Debbie Coxon.
Here.
Jesse Atizio.
Present.
Erin Albertson.
Here.
Gary Newman.
Here.
Ashley Monroe.
Here.
Kim Bean. Debbie Blevins.
Here.
Juan Bula.
Here.
Robin Winant.
Here.
Chris Winters.
Here.
Hoover.
Here.
Brad Crick.
Here.
Jeanette Altman.
Here.
Travis Kinsell.
Here.
Richard Machida.
Here.
Yorko Toivonen. Tom Langdon.
Here.
And
voting for Yorko.
Chris Beck. Cindy Collins. Tony Abbey. Is there anyone
calling? Oh, I thought I'm on the phone.
Oh, this is Maria.
For those online, we're doing some furniture rearranging. Can you bear with us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to chair, I'd like to introduce Greg Simpson, who is within unit past it, interested in being on staff council, has been on before with the DI. And I'd like to welcome him. I don't think he's made it all the way through the process, but next meeting, I think Greg would be actively participating.
All right. Thanks, Greg. Welcome. So we might have missed some people online beyond Maria. Is anyone else online that wasn't called? All right. We have a quorum. We have a meeting. Let's get going.
Yes, that means no.
I'm sorry?
This is Selena. I wasn't sure if you guys could hear me.
All right. Now we can. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Selena, you're voting in place of Adam, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Tony Abbey, and I wasn't sure if I had heard my name called and you guys heard me or not. I'm sorry.
We have now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else online?
Debbie Blevins.
Yes, ma'am. We got you. All right, thank you then. We'll get started. We have an agenda for a draft agenda for meeting number 238. Any changes?
Move to approve.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor of the agenda from 238 as presented, please say aye.
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 All opposed? Hearing none, we have an agenda. Thank you. Next on our list of things to do is the approval of minutes for staff council meeting number 235. If you have substantive issues that need to be addressed, please state them now. If you have grammatical or spelling, please mark up your copy and give it to Nicole at the end of the meeting. We'll have a moment of silence for review. Thank you. when you are ready, please forward the motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any further discussion or concerns? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving minutes for meeting number 235 as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you. Meeting 236.
Second.
All right. We have a motion to approve the meeting minutes for 236. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the minutes for 236 as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you. 237. Sabotaging my efforts to get done in an hour and 15
minutes. Motion to approve 237.
It was the shortest meeting ever.
We have a motion to approve the meeting minutes for 237. Any further discussions? Shall we take a moment?
We motioned and he second.
Yes, ma'am. I have to know. Any further discussion?
Oh, sorry.
Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes for meeting 237 as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you. Fine. Item number two, we have done. Item number three, public comment. We are within 2 minutes of the scheduled time. Is there anyone in the room for public comment? Is there anyone online for public comment? Hearing none, I close public comment. Officers report. First, the business. I attended the Board of Regents meeting last week and testified on my concerns. The meeting was well, consumed by executive session, but very serious concerns about the budget, FY14 and 15. They are anticipating 15 to be worse. Don't know why, but in any case, as a part of my public testimony, I reminded the board that the value of staff, and that we're often the low-hanging fruit when it comes to budget cuts. We're the easy budget cuts. I encourage them to look for strategic reductions rather than across the board, and rather than relying on staff to balance the budget. I also brought up conversations that President Gamble had with regarding bullying in the workplace and the grievance review, or the grievance policy and reg review. Short conversation among the regents regarding bullying in the workplace. President Gamble raised this with us after reading the results of our staff survey done last fall, and I anticipate some further discussions with President Gamble and hopefully maybe a campaign, an awareness campaign out of it about bullying in the workplace. The other discussion I was a grievance review, grievance policy and reg review. I indicated, of course, that if we have a great work environment, that we don't need the grievance policy, that our goal was to work towards a work environment where we didn't need that tool. In the meantime, however, tomorrow I meet with General Counsel Brad Lobland and Julie Larwith to begin the process of reviewing the grievance policy and regulations. And my goal is, again, give them general guidelines or parameters and then have them rewrite it. And I'll certainly bring any draft to staff council for review and comment. So that's an update on the grievance review. The proposals, as you might recall, the proposals from the staff compensation working group, geographic differentials. Oh, and by the way, Brad, during one-on-one with the chancellor, mm-hmm. When we gave him these lists of proposals, he said it was time for the geographic differential review, so he seemed, at least during our one-on-one, to be in favor of reviewing it. So, as you might recall, the proposals that came out of the compensation working group were geographic differentials, volunteer leave time, alternative work schedules, review of the bonus system, personal leave, longevity, leave accrual rates, and university holidays. So, one thing I want to clarify. These were just proposals for starting points for a conversation with statewide administration. We are not voting. When Staff Alliance has forwarded these to statewide administration, we didn't say we want these. We said we want to talk about these. So there is a misunderstanding with some people in statewide administration that we've, in fact, voted in favor of combining annual and sick leave into personal leave. That is not the case. So don't, if you hear that, please correct them, that these were just starting points for conversation. And I'll be sure and, you know, make sure that that's stated and up on the Staff Alliance blog.
And I think in at least one case, the proposal included four different proposals. You know, you couldn't do all four of them. So at least one of the proposals has an example of how you could do it different ways.
Right.
So it wasn't an endorsement of just one.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the point that we need to make sure everybody understands. So far, any questions on any of that? Okay.
I have a question about, you said earlier about bullying. Was there something in a survey that indicated that it was an issue on?
Sorry about that. Staff Alliance did a survey in the fall, in September. We had about, I'm fuzzy on the numbers for some reason, about 900 responses. And of course, at the end was a, comments box. Anyway, it was about 200 pages of comments, and President Gamble reviewed all of them, and in one of our one-on-ones brought up, gosh, the word bullying comes up a lot, and so that was the start of the conversation. And then he carried that into the Staff Alliance retreat, talked to us about it. Everyone at the retreat, the eight representative of their we indicated to him that we had all observed or had concerns about bullying in the workplace. So then I brought it up at Regents to kind of put it on the map. So, yeah.
Okay.
That was where it came from. All of this, I'm really trying to work to get this done. As you might have noticed later on in the unfinished business, officer elections come up at our next meeting. And then in August, the Staff Alliance statewide retreat is. Our new officers are elected, and they're off and running. I hope to have this all very much wrapped in a nice package and bow so that it doesn't get dropped. It doesn't fall off. If you don't have any other questions, I don't have anything else on my list except one thing, which is also very much a challenge for me. But if you don't have any questions, I would like to present to Staff Council a resolution for your approval. This is a resolution of appreciation for Gary Newman. I will read it out loud and ask for your vote. Whereas Gary Newman has served on UAF Staff Council for 12 years, and whereas Gary Newman has continuously advocated on behalf of UAF and UAF staff, and whereas Gary Newman has welcomed and mentored new Staff Council members throughout his tenure, whereas Gary Newman has provided expertise in facilitating the functions of Staff Council, and whereas Gary Newman provided unwavering dedication to UAF staff and UAF Staff Council through service on the UAF Master Planning Committee and the UA Staff Alliance Staff Healthcare Committee, to name a couple. Whereas Gary Newman has worked to preserve institutional knowledge for Staff Council Committee processes and the University of Alaska in general, and whereas Gary Newman has been our go-to rules man for Staff Council, now therefore be it resolved that the University of Alaska Fairbanks Staff Council extends its gratitude and appreciation to Gary Newman for his dedication and tireless commitment to staff governance. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion?
This point of order, should I abstain on this?
There's no further discussion. All those in favor of this resolution of appreciation, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? Thank you, Gary, very much.
Well,
I want to say that you were an intimidating gentleman when I came on staff council at first, and then I got to know you and realized you're one of my favorite here in the net.
Qualification. It's been fun.
We're going to miss you.
Well, who knows? I may show up on the phone sometime. You know, in deference to the thought that you're trying to keep this meeting short, I'd probably
torture them. Torture
no,
them.
I'm gonna shirt my 30-minute speech that I had planned. No, it's been the fun. Entertaining and challenging watching the university try and wander through the morass of getting the work done and trying to not leave staff behind, as you mentioned, for sometimes the kind of the afterthought behind the scenes we make it go. Don't be afraid to advocate. Sometimes there's a backlash, but you just have to soldier on. Try to find something that you can be passionate about within the scope of what we do. I think that's, for example, with healthcare, as a few of you dived into the details of it. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody should. There's other things that need to be taken care of too. So find something you can be passionate about, become expert, great with the group. Will be helpful for us all.
You've certainly set an example for me for a patient and committed, you know, real dedication, because I think I have wanted to run out the door screaming on more than a couple of occasions in frustration.
I heard that. I'll
yeah. So.
No, it's hard, and the other thing is that we've talked a lot in the last few years more about communication than anything else, and I think somehow, if we can find a way just to communicate about ideas, we get an email from Nicole. We all know who each other is, Art. And you know, if we have ideas, you know, go ahead and forward it to the list. Start a conversation. Keep things open, because you're just doing it in your own little vacuum. You not only don't have the support, you don't have the advice of everybody else perspective. I think it's important for us to kind of bond more as a group, which is why I like this room even better.
Good point. Good point. Well, Well, thank you. Any other comments, or they are committed to moving on. All right. Thank you, Gary. Claudia.
I just want to say thanks to Gary. That was great. And to keep time short, I don't have anything to report right now. So I'm making up for Joella and for the that Gary.
I did actually have one more comment. I wanted to thank Mary Alice for stepping in at the last meeting and at the Staff Alliance retreat. She joined us down there, probably a little bit mind-boggling, the eight of us in a room. Small room it was, too. Thank you. And if there's anything you want to share with us, too.
No, I shared at the last meeting what we went over and stuff.
Okay. All right, the Chancellor might be late. The scholarship breakfast is going on right now, and so he'll join us at some point during the in person too, potentially. Okay, he may join us in a bit. Then the governance reports. Jennifer Reynolds, are you online? You're not in the room. And Mari Freitag, are you online? You are not in the room.
I just have to say I can't remember if we've seen at least even once this last year.
Jennifer was here.
Oh, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Mari is challenged because she's graduating and she's a student regent. She has a lot going on. I have been connected with her separately, but I will say this has not been the best year for cross governance groups communications. I think if it were really necessary, we would have connected. I attend all of the Board of Regents meetings and see her there at those, but otherwise no. All right, then we'll move on to item 7, unfinished business and the healthcare benefit update. And actually, you know, my apologies. We'll let Gary finish out, and then when we get to the committee reports, we'll talk about placements for Gary on his committee. So, Gary, did you want to give the 7?
Very quick report because our meeting was canceled because the JACC was canceled, and everybody's received open enrollment. Communication essentially from the administration.
I will pass on one thing that Michelle Rizik said to the Board of Regents that they're stressing. They have supposedly trained all of the HR techs on the new healthcare plan, and they are strongly encouraging anyone who has questions about their decisions and the plans to contact their HR rep because of the changes, fair number of changes in the plans. And so officially they are. And so I'd like you to spread that word, and anytime anyone speaks with you or has questions, that you forward them to the HR. Or to Erica.
That's one thing they had said they were going to do, glad to hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a couple forums coming up too, that Thursday up here in Buttro. And
right. I hadn't heard those.
No, I hadn't heard those either.
Yeah. I hadn't heard of them.
An email came out.
I had seen them, but I didn't remember the specifics. Do you know?
Well, the one at Buttro is 2 to 3 on Thursday. And
there's one tomorrow in the Wood Center.
Yeah, okay. There's a couple in the Wood Center.
And they.
Okay, so share that. It's posted on, yeah. We'll make sure that's posted, but then share that with your constituents as well, the forums for answering questions. We did ask Erica to join us today, but she was unable to.
It is posted.
It's posted. Okay, the dates for the forums. Okay, any other questions then on 7A?
Joella, the one on Thursday
In
the morning is also available via audio.
Okay. Oh, good.
So our rural sites can participate.
Great. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
For not having more of the specifics myself. If there's nothing else on A, 7B, officer elections, is this the official opening of nominations? Okay. All right. So just a reminder, I encourage all of you with any interest to contact myself. I also would ask that you read the Constitution and bylaws regarding the responsibilities of the officers. The process is such that in May we'll have our meeting and review the nominations and and vote there and then. So I expect to see lots of nominations. And you can self-nominate.
Are you going to run again?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to run again?
No. No, I'm not. And there's no fingers crossed. No, I'm graduating finally with my MBA, and time to get back to my job. Just as an FYI, as a reminder, for this last year, because I was chair of Staff Alliance and president here, 30% of my salary was covered by governance. There is a salary offset of being an officer here and at the statewide level. Outstanding Staff Council Achievement Award. We need an ad hoc committee for this award. This is an award that's given out at Staff Appreciation Day. Would anyone like to join me on the committee?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
What's that? Whispers, and she knows I'm deaf. So actually, thank you very much for your volunteering, and Nicole will get us together and lined out. And we're at break. Please note the speed with which we've gone through the agenda so far.
You are going to live that down. Oh, God.
We are way ahead, and Dr. Peng Lam is not here yet.
Without the chancellor.
And neither is the chancellor, so I'm not letting you go on break yet. We'll move on to the internal committee reports. And Richard, is there anything you'd like to add with yours?
No. You don't really want to add anything except that it's some sort of a daunting task with all the motions and changes. And the number of changes. I talked with Gary yesterday about how these should be presented as individual motions or single report or what.
Uh-huh.
We're at the next DMR meeting where we're ready to probably make up the whole pile of motions.
Okay, great. So we'll be sure and get them on the agenda. And be clear whether or not we can read, have one reading and approve in the same meeting, or and the process for us. And Walker, I'm assuming, is available to assist?
Walker has been more than willing to help.
Great. Great. Anything else there? Any questions for Richard?
Joella, can I jump in for a sec? This is Kim Eames, and I apologize, I signed in late. I just wanted to make sure that I got put on the roll. Sorry. Right.
Thank you. If there are no further questions on 10A and EMR, I'll move to Rural Affairs and Jeanette.
Obviously, the meeting report is attached. One thing that I will just comment on for the good of the order is an important thing that we discovered when we were talking about ways for smaller populations to report problems or unfair practices without cause or without fear of retribution. I quite accidentally found the Alaska State Ombudsman, which this university doesn't have an ombudsman, if you don't know what an ombudsman is, it's somebody that you can talk to about unfair practices at work, concerns you might have, that you don't have to worry that somebody up the chain is going to find out and you'll get punished for it. So they're a neutral third party. I called the Ombudsman's office. Alaska, University of Alaska is a state agency, and we do fall under their purview. So I have included the information in there. Some people were worried that maybe, you know, our concerns would seem like small potatoes, but the people at the Ombudsman's office were really, really nice and willing to listen. Unfortunately, I didn't have any problems at the time, so I don't have any now, but I didn't have a problem to complain about, but it seems to be figured out, so.
Right. Questions for Jeanette?
Well, thank you for that, because I've been advocating for that Ombudsperson here. Mm-hmm. I think it still would be helpful, or at least an office that they would be familiar with
university doings, because you operate differently than the city.
And that is one of the things that we also discussed in that meeting, was maybe petitioning the university to have an ombudsman that would travel around to the different campuses. Since we're rural affairs, obviously we have a special focus on making sure that those populations don't get marginalized, but it would still be nice if we had somebody that was full university.
Yeah, I agree, and I've certainly, we've been chatting, you know, referring to it and suggesting it, but I think it's, the university has its very own set of policies and procedures and regulations, and it'd be a good idea, but thank you. For those online, Jennifer Reynolds has joined us, and with your patience, I'd like to move back to the agenda. Back to item 6A on the agenda, and have Jennifer talk with us.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning.
The last time I saw you was in February, the meeting in March. And since then, the Faculty Senate has had two meetings and done a few things you might be interested in. One is that the Senate passed a motion to change the grade requirements for majors, minors, and prerequisites. It's now a C minus rather than a C. We now have the transfer credit requirements aligned with both UAA and UAS, so that the grades that transfer from one to another are the same at all three, which is, we think, a simplification and improvement. And the Senate did pass a motion that changes the text that describes what the letter grades mean. What is a B? What is a C? What does this mean? So there's a change to that. It's now closer to the Board of Regents description, although it goes into a little more detail. And that will be in the next catalog. We approved a new Bachelor's of Arts in Secondary Education. There is a secondary education program at UAS now, probably many of you know that, but it's structured so that the teaching training happens after the bachelor's degree is completed. It's a 1 or 2 year post-bachelor's program, and there are disadvantages to doing it that way, and so the Senate has approved a new Bachelor of Arts that is essentially a double major. So the student majors in subject area and in secondary education as a double major for a Bachelor of Arts degree. And it may take many students 5 years to do this, but we think the outcome will be better. It's easier for them to get financial aid for the whole thing because it's all under the bachelor's degree. So we've approved that and have submitted it to the chancellor, and I presume that will go to the Board of Regents. Yes. Another that I mentioned to you in February was that the Faculty Senate was considering setting up a central online collection of course information, and we talked about that for a bit. So the survey results were finalized, and the Senate looked at those survey results, discussed the situation, and passed a motion to establish a collection. And what we are focusing on is expanded course descriptions. Not the syllabi themselves, but sections of the syllabus, which would be the course description, the course goals, the student learning outcomes, prerequisites that are needed. So the point here is to provide more information to the students and their advisors to help them selecting courses for their academic career. These are the parts of the syllabus that won't change frequently. They're the parts of the syllabus that should apply to multiple instructors teaching the same course. And the faculty were largely comfortable with establishing this. It's going to be set up behind a UA login, so it will be restricted to those of the university community, but it'll be accessible to people at UAA, to staff, presumably, because we will make sure that anyone with a UA login can get at it. And we are going to start discussing with OIT how to set this up. We have a meeting in about 10 days to have our first conversation about it. And one more topic is that we have elected a new president-elect for next year, and that's Cecile Larden from the Sociology Department. And David Valentine will take over as president at our May meeting. Any questions?
How's it been being this position?
Busy? Busy? We have a lot of projects in the works this year. It's a kind of unusual level of initiatives on a lot of different fronts. So, it's been busy. Interesting, too. Yes?
The online repository, will that just be on www.uaf.edu, or place where people log into an actual
website? We have a couple of options, and that's the first thing we need to talk to OIT about. Our thinking right now is that we think we're going to do it within Blackboard. Set up a shell that you can get to as soon as you sign into Blackboard in the UAF section.
What about for brand new students that may not know their Blackboard account, or that how Blackboard works, or is that?
They need to learn that,
So putting it on Blackboard would make it less public than on UAF.edu? Is that
It's a matter of putting it in an academic computer site, right, first of all, so that it's in an obvious place for people to look. It's the academic information that's in Blackboard. That's one thought. Another is that we have enough of an active relationship with those who run Blackboard for UAF. We think that that will help us set it up and maintain it over a long period. But as I said, this is a conversation we still need to have with OIT and see what they say.
Yeah, the fine-tuning is yet to...
That's right. We do have a template for what will be in this. If you want to see it, it's in the Faculty Senate agenda. From our last meeting, and I have copies here if anybody wants to see it. Yes?
I was just going to say, maybe another good place to consider would be UA Online. So there's the link for where you register, where you look at the course catalogs and everything that's available, and maybe having it there would be cool because it's in the same place. If you decide you want to take it, you could just put it already in the system.
Sure, we'll look at that too.
Any other questions? Any questions online?
All right.
Thank you. For those online, Chancellor Rogers has joined us as well, and so we'll go ahead and everybody has.
I got a couple things this morning. First, this is I just came from the scholarship breakfast, an opportunity where that we get to connect the donors to scholarship funds with the scholarship awardees. It's really remarkable. I asked at one point for all current and former faculty and staff who contributed, and it was the number of people who stood up really, I think, impressed everyone in the crowd. The idea that people who work here care enough about what we do to give back was a really big deal. We gave out almost $1.2 million in scholarship and awards this year, this fiscal year, and to hear the stories of some of the students, it's really inspiring to see what our students are able to do and what a difference that kind of private philanthropy makes. It was particularly important as I thought about the other challenge that we have, which is our public support, going into a tough year. I think I've mentioned this before. Now we know where the legislature came out. It's actually better than we anticipated a couple of weeks ago. On the capital side, I was quoted in the paper saying it's not over till it's over on engineering. I actually thought it was over. I didn't think we were going to get it, but thanks to Steve Thompson and others, we got $15 million for engineering. That allows us to keep working on that project. Essentially, the first phase was funded. That gets it shelled in. and we were going to complete it in late January, early February of next year. This gives us enough money, assuming the governor approves it, to get to July 1st. So if we get money next year, the project doesn't get delayed at all. Part of the deal on that was they reduced a little bit our deferred maintenance. So instead of at the system level getting $37.5 million, we got $30 million for deferred maintenance. UAS gets a little over 50% of that. We'll end up using some of that on combined heat and power planning, but we will not make as much progress on combined heat and power as we'd hope. Center for Energy and Power got money for their energy R&D, and then the legislature approved our use of external funds, essentially the debt service for the Wood Center project, and authorized the next phase of Sustainable Village, which we're looking at constructing in the summer of 14, an additional few units. One other item that wasn't addressed in the budgets per se, but one that I know there have been questions here before, the solar photovoltaic project. We have signed a contract with Siemens to do the planning and design, sort of flesh out the plan. That would be just below the Butrovich building here. The operating side is the bigger challenge, and I think I went over some of the reasons that we enter the year with a challenge. The state legislature funded half of the money for pay raises for faculty and staff. They did not fund anything for fixed cost inflation, so we begin the year having to cover half of the pay and all of the fixed cost increases. We also have the debt service for the life sciences facility for the $20 million that we borrowed toward it, all coming in as new expenses next year. Tuition, smallest tuition increase in over a decade, and essentially flat enrollment together mean very little in the way of new tuition money. And then the federal government, the federal budget, we don't know exactly what the impact will be, but we're already starting to see impacts from the federal sequestration. And probably the worst example and the dumbest example of that has to do with the Alaska Volcano Observatory. It just celebrated its 25th anniversary, providing real-time data about volcanic activity. The USGS has decided that for their budget cut with sequestration, it'll just stop funding UAF's portion of AVO. So that affects graduate students, it affects our ability to deliver real-time data. But I think that's the example of the kinds of things we're going to see in the coming year as federal agencies adjust to budget changes. Finally, the other thing on the expense side is some prior commitments. So, for example, in 2007, when UAF submitted its proposal for the Sikuliok to construct the new research ship, we pledged $500,000 for ship time for Alaska-based projects. That comes on then as a commitment by the institution that we have to meet. Now, we don't have to meet all of it in next fiscal year. We only have the ship for one quarter of the year, but one quarter of that. So that's on the revenue side, all of the revenue and expense side, you know, both of them really squeezing us. So we're working out now that we know what we have. The legislature did fund a couple of items in terms of new programs or expansion. They did fund the operating cost of the life sciences facility a month ago. That was not in the House budget. That's good news. They funded Bristol Bay Nursing Program, funded some support for the UA Press and for e-learning expansion at UAF, and then for advising at the community campuses. So some movement forward, but again, all those fixed costs not covered. So what we're looking at, still putting together all of the pieces that will form the way we adjust to a starting point where we're perhaps $7 or $8 million in the hole. That's where we start. So to get there, to close that, on the unfunded portion of salary increase, each unit will have to deal with that themselves. We're not going to do a central funding and a pullback this year. If we looked at the kinds of across-the-board pullbacks we've done in recent years, if we wanted to solve the whole problem that way, it would be about a 4 or 5% pullback. That's too much. That would hit too many units too hard. So we're electing not to pursue that this year. But the portion of salary that wasn't funded, each school, college unit will be dealing with that for themselves. Second, we are going to be implementing a vacancy management plan that essentially, when a vacancy comes up, we will hold it open for a fixed period of time and use those savings to get maybe as much as a third of the total of the budget shortfall for the coming year. Now, that's an easy way of achieving some savings from a sort of to find money that isn't out there, that doesn't involve cuts, but it does impose essentially a tax on everybody else because we all have to pick up the work. And I'm acutely aware of that since my executive officer, Bob Shevchek, is retiring this year. That's going to be one of the first positions caught in that mandatory savings. I mentioned to you last month, and we continue to look for space and energy conservation savings. Those are areas that, again, don't affect program directly. We're trying to identify spaces that may be underutilized or spaces that are full of, I'd say, junk. Other people might say good stuff that could be stored lower value space in order to make space. We're looking at a couple of our smaller classrooms that are underutilized, converting those to offices that will and essentially doubling up using higher use of some of the other classrooms, with the goal being to try to address off-campus offices that we can move onto campus, or for those areas where we have expansion, being able to address it on campus rather than off campus. So we think we can get upwards of about $750,000 between energy conservation benefits and space lease savings in the coming year. We'll use whatever carry forward we're able to generate this year to use to offset some of next year's shortfall. And then finally, there will be in each of the vice chancellor areas some level of vertical cut. And vertical cut means we're going to stop doing something that we're now doing. Each vice chancellor area will be determining what those are. We'll review those with the Planning and Budget Committee before implementing. But that will result in not doing some things that we're now doing. We maintain a commitment to staff so that those any affected staff or faculty that would be we would be looking at alternatives for them. But that is probably the most painful part of the overall reduction. Now, some of the others, applying a salary cut, the shortfall in salary across all units, that's a mild sort of pain compared with not doing something that we're doing today. We think that the combination of all of those gets us into balance for next year, but we're going to need to be continuing to look for those for the kinds of savings, because the expectation is the following fiscal year is not going to be a whole lot better. With the legislature having adopted a dramatic tax reduction, state revenues are going to be short in fiscal 15, a year from now. So next year's legislature will have very little flexibility on the operating budget. The governor's looking at, over the next 5 years, trying to reduce state spending 10% to 15% from where it is today. We'll certainly at the university fight that those reductions go elsewhere and not to the university, but I think expectations of growth, we're going to be much more like the institutions in the lower 48 in terms of what our budget outlook is for the next couple of years. I want to end on bad news, so let me move to one event I really appreciate the work that's gone into Staff Appreciation Day this year. I think we have the best array of personal and professional development opportunities that I've seen. We've talked about it in Cabinet multiple times to try to encourage people. And it's not just, it's really become a staff development day in addition to being the appreciation side. And so if anyone's aware of supervisors who are discouraging people from attending, if you'd let me know, I'd like to let those supervisors know we want to encourage participation and the opportunity to take advantages that day. And I appreciate the work that the Cornerstone Award Committee has done. I should be receiving the recommendation shortly for this year's Cornerstone Award, which we'll make that day. So with that, I'll stop and answer questions that anybody may have.
Just clarify, how much did you figure we were in the hole overall?
Well, it depends on what your assumptions are. On
the number, I just didn't.
Yeah, seven to eight. Is the best estimate at this point. It's a range of 6 to 10, depending on one's assumptions about federal, the effect of indirect costs.
Could you give a little more clarification on what you mean by vertical cut?
A vertical cut is to stop doing something we're doing now.
Do you have any things in mind at this point, or is it just?
We need to go through some opportunity for discussion of those at the Vice Chancellor level and with the Planning and Budget Committee. So I think there have been, everyone has ideas of what they think ought to be, but that really needs to go through a collaborative decision-making process before we make specific decisions on what those will be.
Is there any time frame on when that might come about?
The thinking about it over the next 45 days or so, implementation of decisions really depends on where those are, because depending on any notice requirements, those vary by unit, and the impact, understanding the impacts. Often if you're looking at a reduction, it also reduces revenue associated with it, and so really understanding those impacts, it's not something you want to do quickly or lightly.
And just to clarify, and you can maybe help me with the specifics, but the governor still has to review the budget and can still make change.
Yeah, he can reduce, he can't add.
Yeah, right. And so, and when is his deadline for signing?
His deadline is 20 days, not counting Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays, after he receives it. And in the past, the legislature has held it by up to 30 days before they even send it to him to give him more time to review. So it could be as late as July 1st. It's been actually later than that at times. My expectation is we would know first or second week of June. And I don't believe the governor will make significant reductions to the budget this year. He got most of what he wanted from the legislature, and usually, in particular, you got his tax bill. So, as a general rule, there might be a few where he sees something egregious that he thinks is a bad idea. I don't think there's anything in our request, in our what the legislature funded with us, that would tend to set him to say no. But he has the right to veto anything.
Any other questions?
With regard to the vacancy management plan, if a department has, a number of positions being vacated and was looking to either internally recruit or directly appoint people into those positions, would that prevent that for that period of time, or would it still be okay if the then newly vacated positions would stay open for a while?
We haven't discussed that yet.
Okay.
That's a new issue. So. We'll have to look at that.
All right.
In terms of capturing those savings, seems like it wouldn't be fair to do a double hit if you're doing an internal recruitment. So that, and that actually would, if we exempted the internal recruitment, that would be a benefit to those departments that choose to internally recruit, which overall I see as a plus. And, you know, the focus will be on Fund 1 as well. We don't get any benefit by holding off on Fund 2 positions. In fact, it costs us money to hold those vacant because we lose the indirect associated.
Well, did you have a timeline for considering implementing, say, July 1?
I was considering about
savings earlier too.
So. I was actually considering on about the April 15th, so that in terms of starting to capture savings, so April 15th, that would be the first 2 weeks of the next fiscal year to capture the savings there. So we have not yet completed the whole plan, and so I suppose people have I expect people will try to find ways to hire quickly here, but.
That's also been an issue. I was wondering, you know, for trying to impose a delay, I think you mentioned 60 days?
That we've talked about 45, 60, and 90. And the discussion so far in Cabinet has been, do we capture a portion of that centrally and then a portion of that at the Vice Chancellor level to address, you know, for example, if whatever cuts there may be, we're going to have notice requirements, et cetera, that require us to use, essentially spend part of the money. We're not going to get a whole year's savings off anything, any reductions that we have to do. So we're still in discussion on that. And I would expect an early communication within a week or two and then a more detailed by the 1st of May. And again, we really can't finalize until we see where the governor about, and it's a rolling issue on the federal side. They solve the issue of sequestration sooner, we're in better shape, but if they solve it by further reductions to the federal budget, which I think we would expect, we're in worse shape. And at this point, what we're seeing is not a, other than things like AVO grant, what we're seeing is just a delay in making decisions. Everybody's holding back. And so essentially our pipeline of federal projects is getting smaller. We can still, for most of them, be working at full speed. It's just we have fewer months till we run out on many projects. And so I think that federal issue is more likely to hit us hard in FY15 rather than FY14.
Big challenges.
For the vacancy item, is that for any type of job on campus or only certain grades and hire?
The faculty, because faculty hiring is in a different cycle, it tends to be on an academic year basis. It's really all non-faculty positions, executive as well. For faculty positions, I think we're likely to do a closer review of where we go out to recruit for tenured faculty positions, which ones, and you know, the provost does that already, but I think we'll have a tighter screen. And actually, for the vacancy management, we also know that we're not going to get 100%. There are going to be positions that we can't afford to wait that long, and so our expectation and plan is that the Cabinet will review any requests for exceptions. And I expect maybe 10% we would have to say go ahead. Now, the system office has been doing this for years now. They've been had a 60-day hold on all hiring for the last 2 years, and so they've, you know, where in part our estimates of savings are based on their experience.
Thank you.
Certainly, we're open to other savings ideas that are out there. While, you know, there used to be an opportunity to reward people for good savings ideas at the state level, I'm not sure we have that ability, but certainly it's in all of our benefit if people see opportunities to save money. We're open to them. This is a problem we're all going to have to share in what the solution is.
Going back,
you mentioned the vertical cut. Now, what happens to those
people, do they get recirculated into the system?
There could be layoffs. Our policy, and I've really pushed hard on HR, is that if a person is laid off, that they that it's a priority to find alternatives for them. We have a fair bit of turnover in any given year. There are positions that come vacant, and the expectation is that people who are in layoff status, it's both our policy and our practice to put them at the head of the line. What I would likely do is if there are any people, and we don't yet know, again, we don't know what those would be, but if somebody were hiring off the layoff pool, I would make an exception to the 90-day hold. So there'd be a real advantage for a department who wants to fill a position to fill from an existing staff member. You know, either they give up 90 days of pay and go without a person for 90 days, or they hire somebody who has been laid off and they can fill immediately. That's a pretty strong incentive. So that's the kind of thing that I'd look at to try to help ensure. And I think when we look at the few times we've had layoffs in the last few years, we've been able to find alternative employment most of the time. Ours was a tough one because there were so many, and it was specialized work. But most of the people who weren't in specialized supercomputing were able to find alternatives, and that's our goal as an institution.
If I may, Mary, I'm sorry, will you identify yourself for the record? Are you here as a representative or an alternate or as a public?
Yeah.
And for those online, Mary Stark asked that question. Gary?
Just you coming back, you said something that you were working with Siemens again on planning for the solar.
Yes.
Is that back on again?
It's never been off. We've been in negotiation for a significant period of time on how to move forward the next step. And the next step is to go with more detailed planning design and contract specifications.
All right. It was seeming bleak for a while, just based on the cost of electricity.
It's challenging financially, but we think beneficial enough that it's worth pursuing.
Okay. Any other questions? Well, thank you for the information, and also I want to thank you for your increased administrative support for Staff Appreciation Day. Much appreciated.
Yeah. Again, I'm actually wondering if we need to change the name to Staff Development Day because it really is. Has everybody seen the layout of what the programs are?
No.
Oh, well, let's make sure that gets out because it is really impressive.
Today. I think the website was supposed to go live yesterday, but I think so. There, it's ready to go live.
So I saw the draft and with multiple opportunities and some really great programs and a real significant variety of programs for personal development, for professional development, for understanding UAF processes and procedures, for fun, exercise, et cetera. I mean, it's just, wow. I don't know who here I owe thanks to for participating in that, but everybody here and everybody who's not here, this is, you know, this is by far the best we've done. And seeing this improve each year it really makes my heart glad because that's something that when I came in as chancellor, we set out we wanted to do a better job on that area.
Well, we have Maria and Ashley online. Those are the two that you can
thank you.
We can thank too.
You're welcome.
All right, then thank you very much. I want to take 1 minute, but it's not a break. Chancellor, thank you.
I gave you all a break. Time for pissing on the agenda.
So I have a couple of questions that I didn't get into my president's report that I need to ask. And remember, I mentioned the bullying in the workplace. I want to ask you a question regarding bullying in the workplace, the grievance policy, and one other thing. I have written these down at, oh, there, the University, statewide university, thank you very much. Office of Internal Audit is conducting an audit of the methods for reporting fraud at the university. They just contacted me, well, they contacted me after the Board of Regents meeting. I would, through a show of hands, I'm sorry for those online, but through a show of hands, I would like you to raise your hand and tell me if you know how to report fraud at the university. All right, so for the record then, we have zero. With a show of hands, how many of you have experienced or observed the grievance process? So, two? Three? Okay.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Okay. So, and then in the room again, with a show of hands, how many of you have experienced or observed what you consider to be bullying in the work? Okay. Thank you. My intent there is, and I apologize for going backwards in the agenda, but my intent there was to get a sense for, you know, the temperature on these three issues. After I meet with statewide internal audit, I will, you know, put some more information out to you about the reporting fraud. They're auditing the methods for reporting, and so they'd like to know, does the average staff person know how to do it or know where to go? And then one other thing I also wanted to mention, as you might recall, we asked for your input on the UAF strategic plan. And one thing that was more than amply noted was the lack of the word staff in the plan. I did put forward a formal suggested change to the strategic plan committee. They received it, acknowledged it. Pips Vesey is serving as our rep on that committee and is aware of that proposed change. I would expect and hope, of course, change. I also mentioned it to the chancellor at our last face-to-face. So with that, we can take a break unless there are any questions.
Ping's here.
Yes, we can take a break. Ping, we'll get set up while we're on break and donuts and so on. We'll take 20 minutes. Okay, let's come back to order. Thank you for your patience for those online. We're back on the clock at 10:03, and we have a guest, Dr. Peng Yuan. He's here, and I'm sorry again online that you can't see the presentation, but hopefully will he be able to be heard well enough. Hopefully online you can hear his presentation.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Julia. Thank you, Nicole, for offering this opportunity. That's my pleasure to come here to talk about the AIST Arctic Innovation Competition to you. I think this is the best opportunity to promote this event through you and to the whole university. So the first one we call our competition is the Arctic Innovation Competition. So Arctic Innovation Competition is not mean we are only limited our competition in the Arctic region. It means we're based in here. So the first one I want to show you, what is the AIC, so Arctic Innovation. This is the annual event. So every year we run this competition. We start this one since 2009. So every year we ask people to submit their idea, come to the competition. So this one is based in Alaska. So the first one, we open to everyone. So generally speaking, for the competition, if you are a business plan competition, usually they limit to the business school. If you are engineering competition, they limit to the engineering school. But for us, we open to everyone. So currently, we got the oldest contestant is 92 years old. We got the younger one, 6 years old. So that means that we open to everyone. So if you got a good idea, you can come to the competition. Then also our competition, we have two tracks. One is for adults. If you are the 18 or the above, you come to the normal competition. If you are the 17 or under, you come to the AIC junior. So that means we have adults and also the kids competition. Another one is that we see that is competition is mainly focused on ideas. If you got a good idea, even you haven't got the products or prototype, you can come to the competition. We judging you are the ideas. So that is the first one, is the ideas, focus. Products are not necessary. But if you can make any kind of prototype, that will be helpful. Because that is one type of the proof. Another one, we do not have any topic limitation. No matter you got some idea used in library, or you got idea used in the kindergarten, or you got some idea used in the business. So that means if you can got an idea, improve people's life, also your idea can generate potential profit. That's a good idea. Now another one is that usually you see for the competition, they charge you entrance fee, is right? But for us, nothing. We charge you nothing. So just the use your brand, create some new idea, then you come here. Not any hidden cost. So that is not any fee. Then also, in addition to that, so we also give you money. So up to now, so every year we run four times. So every year we got over about 200 ideas. So up to now we got the over 800 ideas. So every year we select 20 winners. The top winner is four, so I will show you the prize later. But you see, we got the statewide. Generally speaking, we got the about the 90% is from Alaska. Then another 10% is from overseas and other states. So that means we are not only limited to the Fairbanks or not limited to the Alaska. So about the 30 organizations, they have sponsored this event. So generally speaking, we do not use university very much, university results. We got the money most from the outside. So we begging them, give us money, we run the AIC, that is good for state. So generally speaking, we got a very good recognition for what we have been doing. Then also I want to show you the fun part. So that is for the adults. We provide about nearly 20,000. The first prize is 10,000. Second one is 5. Then we have the top 4. Then we pick up top 20. Then finally the judge decides who will be the top 4. Then the rest 16, each one got $100. So generally speaking, we got a pretty high rate. If you come to the competition, you see among the above, every 10 ideas, the one idea is got the prize, right? So this is for the adult. So this is for kids. We locate $1,000 for kids. So that is we pick up a top 3 kids ideas. So this is the total money we give to the every year. So we work hard to raise money to run this event. Then also please remember, we never use this money to exchange for your idea. So if you submit your idea, you're still the owner of the idea. We give you money, we hope you to use this money as seed fund to develop your idea. But how do you spend your money? We don't care. That's right. You can spend your money, go to Hawaii during the winter. You can use your money to build up your business. So you can go to Hawaii winter every winter. Right? So that is, you see, that is, I want to highlight this one. We are not exchange, use money to exchange for your idea. You still the owner for your idea. Then another one, you ask me why I come here talk to you. So because you see, everybody has the kind of thing. So what is the innovation? It's very simple. You got a problem, then you got something to solve this problem. Especially you got something from nothing or next to nothing. So that is the game for the innovation. The beauty of the innovation is that everybody has this currency. Another beauty is nobody can monopolize the innovation. No matter how rich you are, no matter how powerful you are, you cannot control the innovation. So usually the idea is come from people, they come and go. So that is everybody have this one. If you got a problem, you want to solve this problem, you got the solution. So usually you have two ways. One way you got the problem, you create a new solution. So that is a part of the innovation. We call it radical innovation. Another one, you got a problem, you got some solution, you modify this solution. So you got an innovation. So that means that everybody, you can play this game. So for example, Mr. Arthur, a friend, he played this game. He have some problem. Is that right? So that means that he also got some incentives. So he listened to a seminar. So it's a new formula about the glue. It's called weak glue. Then also he have a problem. Every Sunday he sing a hymn in the church. When they open the hymn book, he used the piece of paper as a bookmark. Every time he open it, the bookmark will drop. That's the problem, is right? He combined the new glue with the problem, make a post-it. So he developed a new product. Another one is this guy you heard about this last month. This is currently the newest millionaire. This is the his last year bottle, 16 years old. It's called the Nico. I cannot pronounce not his last name. But last year, you see, that's his mom, his brother. Got some problem. So when he was 2 years ago, he was 15, he prepared for his history examination. He used his mobile phone, is right? Tried to get the answer. But every time he searched, he got a lot of link, not the article. So he developed one. As a 15 years kid, he developed a new application called the Summary. So that means that everything, he put this into the topic. Now every, if you key in the keyword, they will give you article. But he cut the article into the 400 characters. So this one, last month, Google bought his operation for 30 million. He haven't graduated from high school, but he got the job. And also he got $30 million, but unfortunately he cannot touch. Yeah. His parents have to control the money because he got the job. So you see, if you are interested, there is a video you can have a look, but I do not want to take you too much time. You say, oh, that is too complicated. I want some simple one. I show you some simple one. So this one, everybody, you say, that is a value added. Is right? Everybody knows this. Every family uses it. Is right? They invented it in the 1920s. But you see, sometimes you have a difficulty to put it into your fingers, into your thumb. So that is two young guys, so from Taiwan. They just punch a hole in the original one. So that means when you use, you tear off the other parts, you put them together for your finger, for your the special place. That is a great invention. That is great innovation. So they modify a current product. Another one, even simple. So this one, you see, before we have the computer, we use the typewriter, is right? So everybody knows the typewriter started from the Remington, because Remington got too much money from the arms sales. So finally, they use this one start from the typewriter. So the typewriter, they are dominant in this market for many years. Then you see this come another guy. This guy is called Underwood. Because the Remington wanted to take his business is produce robins for the typewriter. Then the Remington wanted to take his business, wanted to vertical integration. Then this guy fight back. You want to take my business, I want to take your business. So that means he started from a new typewriter, so we call it the Underwood number one. So what he made, he just made a little bit change, because when you use this typewriter, only you can see what you have been typing. So after the four lines, so we call this the blind vision, or the blind typing. But this guy is made his typewriter jump a little bit higher. So that means when you type in the first line, you see what you have. Only a minor change, this is a small change, that makes the big change. So that means that he modified the current product, build up the number one typewriter. So the Underwood becomes the number one, overtake the Robinson. So another one is very interesting, right? So this one you see, very colorful, attractive, is right? So what do you notice?
Is our fingernail?
Yeah. You see, this one is, they call it the padding, is right? But this one, they call it the mani padding. So this one is not for female, it's for male. So this guy is Josh Asplay. He noticed some guy, especially the box fetter, they damaged their the nail. They put some color there. Oh, he thinking that is cool. So that is package can be used in the ladies. I got just the package from the large box from the ladies, make them for the for men. So then he sell every small one for $12. Very successful business. It's called, a, now they say the alpha nail. So it's a for men. So you say that is the so many things. It's simple. If you got a problem, you got a solution, so you got the innovation. So this is the, our four criteria. When you, if you want to submit your idea, so we judge your idea based on these four criteria. First one, what is novelty? What's new? So if you got your idea before you submit, check with the Google. If you have the similar idea there, because we will do that first one. When we got the idea, we check. Or if you have anything right in Google, so if you have the similar, we will say, oh, you are not new. Right? So this is the one, what's new? Show up. The second one is the what is the usage. So for example, the nails, male nail, that is usage. Everybody knows that, but they are applied to the male. So that means you show us what is the usage for this one. Then if you got a new idea, we want to know if this is feasible. So that is the reason. If you can make any type of the prototype, even you make it yourself, take a photo, upload into the submission. So we know, oh, you got some idea how to implement that, right? So this is the feasibility. The last one is value. Use value. How if we apply your idea, can we generate some profit? So this is the four criteria. So we will ask you very simple questions through the submission form. The submission form more or less is around these four questions. So that means if you can submit, write one page about your idea, you can submit there. Then also if you have any supporting document, you can submit to the, our website. This is the, our website. This is our website. It's called arcticinno.com. Arcticinno.com. So we have a very simple website. So this is tell you about the AIC, what is our rules. So then also you, this is the submission form. Then also you can see who is the past winner. So the website is pretty simple. So that is you can if you got some time, so you can have a look. Then the last one is that is our slogan. Think, create, change the world. So no matter how hard our economic situation, no matter how great, so the innovation is always there. It's always there. When you have a hard time, that's good time for innovation. When you have a good time, that's good time for the innovation. So that means as an innovator, so anytime you can work. So that is the way we want you to through you, then also you can pass the information to the other people. If you have a kid, grandkids, you have nephew, niece, they can come to our junior. If you have a still, you know somebody creative in your department, in your school, so pass this one to the student. So that is let them come to the competition. So this year, competition is October 18th, October 18th in the Wood Center. So the deadline for submit idea, I think is September 19th, because we need 4 weeks to go through all the preparation for selection. So I think that is all. If you have any question, I will be happy to answer. Thank you again for the opportunity.
Any questions? I was hoping we'd have the presentation available for our, that can post as well or link to. Something.
Yeah, so this is the one is here. Yeah. So that means that Nicole can distribute this one to anybody in your life.
Is it okay to email it to people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Because you see, this is the promotion. We try to let the more people enjoy this one, know this one. Yeah.
Great. Great.
All
right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. So I encourage all of you to share that in your comments and such to your unit.
And you'll send that out to those of us online, that email?
Yes, we will.
Okay, thanks.
So, let's get back to this. So, we were on the staff affairs.
We haven't met this month. We're supposed to meet later in this week. But I did want to bring up something. We should have all just gotten this email, just real quick, is... Friday is Military Child Month or Day, so they're asking all the university employees to wear purple to represent that, and there will be military child like ceremony cake in the Wood Center from 1 to 3 on Friday.
Purple Up Day. Anything else, Mary Ellen? Meeting this week, you said?
Yeah.
All right. D, University Advocacy List.
We met last Friday. Ran into a couple speed bumps. The Carol and Sampson, we missed being able to participate. I got that information late yesterday. They had like 39 possible candidates that were forwarded on to the selection committee, and it's too late for us to get on to that committee. They did mention that they're going to hopefully change the method of being able to apply for the scholarships, because basically you just go in, you toss all your information in there, and it disseminates on who can be applicable to what scholarship. So hopefully next year, what I'd like to see for next year is to maybe, if they do make the change, is for us to be able to kind of promote it, because it is an excellent opportunity, you know, for those that are single parents, head of household, with financial needs, trying to get a step back into the work environment or a change of career. The idea behind the scholarship is very solid. They have $2,400 for this year's recipients. They're just trying to determine if it's going to be one recipient for $2,000 or two recipients for $1,000. Our staff council travel fund, man who wrote that administrative agreement back in 1990 just tied our hands horrifically. First of all, it has never been used.
So that money's just sitting there.
It is for airfare only. Right now, it's about a little over $400. To use it, you have to exhaust all other avenues for funding. You have to submit your request. It has to go between a selection committee of somebody on staff council from the foundation and the chancellor's office. So basically right now, as it sits, it could benefit a portion of one person's travel.
Because it's only $500.
Yes. Yeah. When our committee met, we came up with some possible fundraising ideas. But before we go into that, I'd like to pose an idea to the council of maybe coming up with an alternative fund to, because what I really wanted to try to do is to try to modify this to be able to help pay, because there's like staff or personal development courses that are offered through CTC that are non-tuition based, so they're not covered by the tuition waiver, but they would help the staff advancement, staff training, to help cover those fees or conference fees that are within the geographical location. So maybe before we had a great idea for the upcoming staff appreciation day for a fundraiser, but I wanted everybody's idea if that's something that we should try to get more money into the travel fund or for us to investigate a different type of personal development fund to establish through the foundation.
So I would encourage you then to ask this group a couple questions for guidance. First, well, we can resolve this one here. Do we want to expand the travel fund that currently exists by fundraising efforts? And that's one question. The other question is, do we want to create a whole nother fund towards professional development for staff, and again, through fundraising efforts? You can take a poll.
Any comments, questions?
Would it be easier to modify the restrictions on the existing?
No, there's absolutely no way to change what is already established on this fund.
Then I don't see a point in further funding it.
If
the money cannot be accessed, then why put more money in?
Yeah.
The accessing it is challenging.
Yes.
So then is it the will of the body to have Leslie's group follow, committee follow up with Foundation about how to close this account?
Or try to at least find one recipient out there. Let's say there are conferences out to travel. It's, again, airfare only. Mm-hmm. That say they really want to go to, the department can't fund it all. Mm-hmm. We can maybe find, and it's not just staff council, it is staff. Put it out there, you know, and maybe find one really good, deserving person to utilize it, because it's a shame just to let this $400 go to waste.
Well, it would be my opinion that even if it's only a travel only supplement, it's still got value. I don't see that it wouldn't be a good. I think it'd still be a good idea to add money to the fund if you can use it that way, because that's a major cost of any pretending anything that's not here is travel.
Yeah, I say also when you go to put your request, you have to show proof that you've exhausted any other possible funding sources.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the burden is there on the proof. How much burden is that?
That you've gone to your department head, they've said no.
That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
I guess they'll know all of that.
This fund has been established in 1990, and it has never been used.
Right.
I would propose.
Has it been tried to be used? Has no one known about it, so no one put in a request for it?
That information I wasn't able to glean, because they had to pull it out of the archives.
Yeah.
Is this something we could use to bring some of our rural representatives in for South Appreciation Day? I mean, could we just have their supervisor, say, sorry, no, you can't go, but go have this other fund anyway.
That would be an option.
Would be helpful this year.
But my question is, do we want to continue to try to increase it, or do we want to kind of branch off into another aspect to help? Because one of the things that was mentioned is staff mentoring. And that's another thing I really would like to get an opinion on and maybe put out to the general populace, is to do staff mentoring. We're going to have to get folks within the university to buy into this, to be able to donate some of their time or be willing to take somebody under their wing and give them guidance on, you know, those that are in a lower level position that want to find a way to advance into another position or better themselves. And that my other idea would kind of go hand in hand with the staff mentoring, and it would allow them to get that additional training or facilitate further learning that's not under tuition.
Well, again, I think that's a great idea too, but I don't think it would be to the exclusion of the other.
No, yeah.
So I still see value in the travel thing. I wouldn't want to close it out, I don't think. I wouldn't go with the intent of just spending money and get rid of it. It doesn't seem that hard.
The idea that came to light at the committee meeting for a fundraising idea was at the Staff Appreciation Day at the staff council table to have a box that said, please donate $1. For the staff council training fund. This, I did verify with the foundation that this is an acceptable form of fundraising. You don't have to have any special permits or go through any special paperwork. It just has to say that that's what it's for. Maybe have all the staff council members pin $1 to their shirt and then donate that $1 at the end of the day. So we are open for any suggestions, recommendations. Feel free to send me your ideas.
I'd like to put Gary on a $5 dunk tank.
Can I be first?
We were going to alternate these two of you.
I think it would be great if we could use that money, not necessarily just to close it out, but to just use it, as Nicole said. Maybe even for this Staff Appreciation Day, we'd still have time to get that done. And I really like the idea, if we're going to do something like that, of having something that's more versatile, and it is easier to start with. I mean, it doesn't mean it can't still be used for travel or airfare or anything. We can broaden the use of a new fund to whatever we want to make it, if we're going to be the ones trying to fund it and raise funds for it.
So what I think we'll do now is investigate what steps it would take to go for another possible fund.
So my suggestion would be investigating, yes, creating a new one. Bring back a list of choices, a travel fund, a special development fund or whatever, a list of choices for this group to vote on, and then a strategy for fundraising to build the fund. I would then, at this point, encourage, let's talk to some of our rural folks. Maybe Jeanette, you could offer this, if this is all right with the group. This fund, as it exists now, for attending Staff Appreciation Day.
Definitely.
And then the process is probably, you know, one, confirming that we are low on funds, two, their supervisor won't pay for their travel in and such like that. That takes care of this fund here, and it may be better to create a whole new one, a whole new travel fund with less restriction and more clarity.
I agree with that. But do we want to forward with our idea to try to raise funds? If we did this, it would go into this travel fund. Or do we want to table it till we know a better idea of what we want to do on this fund?
Well, don't you have to have money to start a fund?
Yes.
So could this not be the seed money to start that fund? Could we find that out?
Let me see if I can get the paperwork in place.
That might be too quick. But
any other questions? For someone online is... it sounds like you have great music, but you place this on hold, which is a challenge for everyone else online.
Because if they're on hold, they're not going to hear you.
Can you verify who's online?
Hey, Duella, can I make a quick comment for whoever the chair is for advocacy? If you do decide to do a fundraiser, this is Maria Russell. I'm on the Appreciation Day Committee. If you can send me a blurb about what you're trying to do, I can have it focused in the cornerstone. So that it'll bring more attention to your fundraiser.
Okay, hopefully by the end of this week I will have more information on the hoops and paperwork that we would need to have in place if we were going to accomplish a new fund and idea, and then I would disseminate it to everybody, because I don't think the committee should be the only one making this decision. I think we should do this as a whole.
Okay. But we have to jump on it because Appreciation Day is a month away.
Yeah, that's why I'll try to get with the development office today or
Janelle will take care of that.
Tomorrow.
Thanks, Maria, for the idea. It's on the, that's a good idea.
It's a high topic for me, so.
Any other comments or questions on the report?
I would love for any ideas that folks have that the Advocacy Council can take on to try to promote the importance of the staff, not only to the university, but to the public. Because with the comments made by the Chancellor, I think that anything that we can do to make a, so everybody understands, just everybody knows that the faculty and the students are a top priority, but without the staff, they're
going to
falter.
So will you come back with, bring back to the council a plan and a calendar of dates, suggested dates for participating in the Carolyn Sampson Scholarship?
Yes.
Like what month should we set up an ad hoc?
Yeah, I can tell you that right now.
Actually, I'd like it in writing.
Okay, you betcha.
And then a plan for promoting this.
Right, and by that time I'll know if they've changed their application process.
Okay, so you'll bring a calendar and a plan for promoting it back to council, and then Jeanette's going to look at using up the current travel support fund And any other comments or questions? All right, thank you.
For the record, I just needed someone to get the noise off.
Aren't you good? You're not going to name names, even if I pay you? let's see. Next agenda item is external statewide committee report. We essentially have taken care of 11A, except for now we need a representative to fill Gary's seat on the staff health care committee. Mary Sue and Deb Gonzalez have indicated that they would serve as alts but couldn't step up to be full members. Am I correct, Deb?
No, I can probably do it.
Uh-huh. Your boss.
One of them. No, I can. I think I can do that.
So, is there anyone who would be willing to serve in either capacity in case Deb Gonzalez cannot step up to serve as a rep? Leslie will serve as either the rep or alt, depending on her. Anyone else? Anyone online? We're talking about replacing, if that's possible, Gary on Staff Alliance's Healthcare Committee. Okay, then we'll move to external committee reports. Item 12. Is there anything you'd like to add to 12B since A is on hiatus? Deb? Debbie? Cox?
No, what I have is in my report.
Okay. C, on hiatus or has not met. D, the Planning and Budget Committee has met twice. And they are essentially initially looking at distributing approximately $1.5 million among 50 proposals totaling $46.5 million. At the first two meetings, we identified, discussed the 50 proposals, and discussed the voting process and the criteria for ranking the request. There is also the second half of what this committee will do is discuss, as the Chancellor pointed out, vertical cuts and that process. Basically, they're going to supposedly seek input from the Planning and Budget Committee on a strategic budget balancing. It's all very important right now. I got more information out of that than I did out of the provost. We meet again on Friday, and Trish is going to sit in for me for that. Trish is my alternate. Really, this part, trust me, it's mind-boggling. $46.5 million in proposals, 50 different proposals. Ranking that's going to take a long time. I'm sorry, my throat's dry. 12E, Intercollegiate Athletic. Debbie?
I had my report. I just wanted to reiterate that I was on the committee last year when we chose the scholar athletes, and this year, by far, we had some exceptional student athletes, and just a difficult decision because they were all good, very personable, all very community oriented, and so. It was a really good selection.
And I'm sorry if at any time you have questions and I'm moving too fast, please speak up. F, the Master Planning Committee. Richard has indicated he's willing to step up into the rep position for Gary. There's a report attached. But first, before I turn you loose, is there anyone that would like to serve then potentially as an alt to Richard? Debbie. So we'll sort that out. Gary, did you want to speak to your report?
I've tried to get more and more information, with attachments and things like that, to be able to be posted. so that I don't have to do a big report, but there's oftentimes a quick turnaround. So part of my mission has been sort of getting accomplished. I do expect to transition into a community representative, Fairbanks area community representative on master plan. So
excellent.
Folks still want that are serving on one, so it's all about having to do that, but not having to write a report.
Welcome aboard, Richard.
That note.
Yeah. All right. Any questions for Gary on his report?
I don't really have a question, but I wanted to make a comment. And I sort of made these comments to the Master Planning Committee before, and I'm going to take it back to them. But in Gary's report, there's a sidewalk and trails planning document from the, is it the Trails Planning Subcommittee?
It's kind of an ad hoc.
Yeah. And one of the things that I'd noted and had noted before was that there's a lot of focus on, you know, improving trails and sidewalks, of course, and a lot of mention of bikes and improving non-motorized transport, but there's no mention of roadway improvements in order to improve bike travel. And that concerns me because, one, statistically speaking, bikes are more unsafe on sidewalks because of turning traffic, and two, because Alaska state law actually says, basically, if you get hit while you're on your bike on a sidewalk, it's your fault. Because there's an Alaska statute that says bikes on sidewalks, bike paths, should exercise caution to avoid collision. And that's interpreted to mean you need to yield to turning traffic. Whereas if you were riding in the road, you would be, you know, if you were lawfully riding in the road, you would be protected the way, you know, well, not protected physically, but lawfully protected from, you know, a car turning across from you. Anyway, I wanted to say that out loud to the committee, but I'm going to try and get back in touch with that ad hoc committee chair and bring that back to them.
Any other comments or questions for Gary on his report?
Good work on campus this next year.
It has already begun. Okay, moving on then. G, the Meritorious Service Awards have not met. H has not met. Tom, did you have anything you wanted to say regarding PAC?
No, particularly, we haven't really met, but previous parking citation gave us 33% approval. Our appeals so far, so just go through their process and still there.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Okay. I is People's Endowment. There's a report attached. Debbie, do you have anything you want to highlight, or does anyone have questions today?
I think we gave away about $15,000, so more details to come. But it occurred to me, that's a place we could go to for maybe not travel support, but if there was something staff council really wanted to do that we couldn't fund any other way, it's there for all of us. So to donate to as well. I'm supposed to plug that part.
Sounds like a straight slide in for mentorship.
Yeah, exactly. That might be, well, it might be a good. You know, and we do, there's
notes.
A spring and a fall proposal, so maybe next fall we can.
I'm sure she,
yeah.
You and I shall be chatting more.
Yes.
Good.
Didn't think of that until just now, actually.
That magic.
It all works together somehow, doesn't it? It should.
Okay, we have a report from Ian Olson on the RISE board. I would encourage you, if you have concerns or questions, to contact Ian directly and copy myself. So we can kind of keep track of what you're questions. Tech Advisory Board tab has not met.
We did meet, but that was Friday.
Okay.
So I don't know if Adam's on.
No.
He's not? Okay. Adam said initially he was going to write the report, but neither one of us had time to do that yesterday. Pretty much what it comes down to is we distributed, we awarded a little less than $240,000. To 25 different proposals. The largest of one was by far the best written proposal for chemistry and updating their software in pretty much all of their research equipment. And it was very thoughtful, very well written proposal that impacts 1,200 some students. So it was really well on most of the proposals were. So we'll write a report and get that out to you guys.
All right. Thank you. Work-life balance inactive. Item 13, then, ad hoc committee report. Brad has the Chancellor's Cornerstone Award Committee report attached. Comments or questions?
Just real quick, I mean, most of what's there is in the report. But one thing that the committee had wanted to highlight, we were hoping that, that you or Claudia could take forward to the pre-staff meeting, were our recommendations, our suggestions for some changes to the award in the future. Some members of the committee who'd been on last year had made this in their previous report, and we weren't really sure if they were received or followed up on, but included things like making maybe some changes to make the nominees more aware that they've been nominated, maybe publicize that, maybe let them read their nominations, and then also to ensure that the award is on par with like the Staff Make Students Count Award, because I think the actual award itself isn't said out loud. It just says there will be an award decided on by the Chancellor, whereas the Staff Make Students Count Award, I forget the exact values, but the award's more clear. And so one of the suggestions from last year had been, say, airline miles or a parking permit. Yeah. those are also some of the suggestions we took up. We thought that might be a nice thing to add to the award.
I took those suggestions to the board of
the Okay.
When they were putting it out initially, my understanding is, and I have not seen it in writing, my understanding is that there has been something added to the award, and I will check and see if they're going to send out the information. That information that we suggested were submitted last year with the overall nominations. I'm going to give them a copy again at the beginning of the fall when we discuss it again. So then, I don't know exactly what.
So then what this sounds to me like is maybe we get an earlier start next year in the fall and then work on pushing these changes with the administration.
Possibly.
Instead of waiting until the nominations.
Right.
Caught up in that.
Well, my understanding was last year the committee was asked to give some feedback about the process.
Okay.
And then this year we were apparently asked the same question. And that was one of the things that came up was, well, we'd given some feedback last year, but we didn't really see any change.
So have you given feedback formally or just?
Through the report. I don't know if there was some other avenue where we were supposed to give feedback. I
just typically ask for feedback and forward it.
Okay.
It will go to the report will go to Chancellor Rogers in that nomination package sometime this week.
Okay. Maybe what we'll do is talk about whether or not we need to make it formal, a formal request for changes rather than communicating through the reporting
process. Okay. Anything else then, Brad?
No, not at this
point. Repetition works sometimes. All right, then, hearing none, and Brad. Staff Appreciation Day Planning Group, Ashley, are you still on?
I'm on, Zilla.
I just about to say, okay, Maria.
Sorry. So, Staff Appreciation Day, we expect the registration to... and the website to be finished today. We have a meeting this afternoon from 3 to 5, but there's one part, and you can read my report. We have 60 sessions. We're super excited. It's been a lot of work. And so the second part on the agenda, it mentions a possible photo contest with that would forward contestants, which would happen during the resource and health fair, and it would allow photos to be submitted, and then the idea behind it is to forward the top three photos to staff council to be considered for their calendar next year. And I just wanted to get feedback and to find out if we have a go-ahead.
I'm sorry, Maria. What did she just ask?
About hosting a photo contest for the staff council calendar.
On Staff Appreciation Day.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Hey, you would.
Thoughts? Question?
I think, and if other members of the calendar committee's previous, if other members of the calendar committee think otherwise, I'm going to jump out on the limb here and say I think on behalf of that committee, I think that sounds like a great idea. I mean, as long as we're clear that it's not the winner will be on the calendar, but that, you know, we're soliciting for the calendar.
So correct.
If you're picking the top three, it's not that, oh, one of these three will definitely be the calendar, but it's that they'll definitely be considered.
Correct.
Richard.
Why wouldn't you want the public or essentially to choose what will be on the calendar?
Well, I think that the idea was selecting the top three, and the idea was any staff member who submits a photo would be entered into a special drawing. And then, so there's that, so there's the incentive. But now, sometimes you wouldn't, so you might have a beautiful photo, but maybe it wouldn't work for printing, or maybe it's too dark or too light, or there's not enough contrast, or it's, there could be numerous reasons why you wouldn't want it specifically selected, which is why the top three would be forwarded, or the top five, or whatever, for consideration.
And I'm sorry, are you closing that for this Staff Appreciation Day?
Correct.
Okay. And maybe the wording then would be enter your photo for an opportunity to win a prize and possibly be selected for the 2014 Staff Council calendar.
Yes.
Gary?
Well, it's just one quick thing, because if anybody submits right now, anybody submits a photo, nothing would prevent them from submitting it later. So, I mean, in a sense, I don't quite...
I think it's a combination of things. I mean, I think it's what Maria is trying to do. One is promote the calendar. Two, another fun event for staff, the idea that they could be a part of selecting the photo for the calendar.
Get some buy-in for it.
Comments?
I like it.
Do I hear a motion?
Do we need a motion?
Well, we need to tell Maria we support her efforts in doing it. And we need to commit to the possibility of selecting from that group.
Maria, when would the photos be due so that they could be displayed?
So, Staff Appreciation Day is the 15th, so we would probably have the deadline, hold on, I'm pulling my calendar, the Friday before, so what would that be, the 10th?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the
10th. Yeah, so I would have the deadline be on the 10th.
So they'll be up for display somewhere in Wood Center, and
yes.
People would have a voting box?
Yep. We'll come up with an easy means for votes.
Thoughts or comments? Motion?
Do you really have time, Maria, to do that too?
Of course.
Okay. I'll wait. Okay, just checking.
I move we support that team.
All right, we have a motion to support this initiative proposed, or this proposal by Maria regarding the photo contest on Staff Appreciation Day. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right. Thank you very much. Maria, anything else on your report?
Yeah, if I could just have the instructions, like the specific instructions you guys send out for the photos forwarded to me, so I'm not sure if Brad has those or if that's more from Nicole, so I can incorporate the, like you need high res or whatever instructions you guys need for the photo.
Okay.
So that those can be incorporated into the announcement.
Okay.
And then other than that, do you guys have any questions about the day?
I'm excited. Can't wait to see it.
Well, everything's finalized. We're just getting everything up and running. We tested the registration this morning, so it's exciting.
All right. Thank you, Maria.
You're welcome.
C, staffing count award committee, did you have one to say?
I would first like to thank Jeanette and Ashley also for, we scored the 9 applicants and came up with and Nicole Summer and the results. From Juneau, School of Fisheries.
Oh, right, yes. I don't remember her name, but I saw that. Just as a reminder, these names will be announced and the awards presented here in Fairbanks at the June Board of Governors meeting. I will host these individuals, and I encourage you all to participate and attend the Board of Regents meetings in June right across the street.
What are the dates?
6th and 7th, I believe. At this meeting, they will set their budget guidelines for FY15, for preparation of the FY15 budget. And they will also be talking about differentiated tuition, the School of Management's proposal. Yes, it's June 6th and 7th.
Thank you.
Public testimony is usually at 10 on the first day and at 9 on the second day. And you do have to sign up for it. Anything else, Richard? Thank you. Thank you for your efforts as well. That was much appreciated at the statewide office. Any other comments or questions? Otherwise, we can move to item 14 and a roundtable discussion. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, just a couple of announcements. Of course, we are doing a health and resource fair at Staff Appreciation Day. We've got a couple of things there. We've got the really free market folks, Chancellor's Fittest Winner, open enrollment, because that will be the deadline day, your last chance to get that done. All the other information. Wynn is helping out with that. And also just wanted to mention the really free market. Kind of crazy, but the week of, there's two meetings coming up if anybody's interested in volunteering or participating, April 24th and May 14th. We have Staff Appreciation Day on the 15th. We have our meeting on the 16th and the really free market on Saturday, the 18th of May. And then we're only doing two this year, so we're doing the winter warm-up for the students in Hess Rec Center, September 14th. So think about, when you go through your winter gear, make a pile of that for them. And we're doing it inside there and not in Wood Center because of all the construction and everything. So just wanted to mention those and, make your piles of goodies for those, too.
Is there really free market for the university community only or is for the entire Fairbanks?
The one on May 18th is for everybody.
Okay.
And then the other one is geared toward the students.
Right.
And earlier this year in the fall, I'm doing a fall winter warm-up, gearing it towards the students and hoping that we'll get a little more participation in that one and at a time when they can really use it when they're coming back to campus.
Okay.
Before they get all their stuff.
Any other questions on any of that? Thank you, Debbie.
Thanks.
All right. We lost the command and control.
She's shutting down the recording.
Okay.